Good morning. I'd like to welcome those who are watching and worshiping online. Glad that you're with us. 29 devices have tuned in this morning and appreciate everyone here. If you're visiting with us, we love that you are here. In fact, one of our brothers gave me a card that says, I've been praying I'd have to sit in a new seat each week because my seat was taken. And he said, it happened today, praise God. I love that. That's the attitude that we need here, that we love for new people to come. Even if it's even if it's an old-time member, maybe their seat was taken, then they took your seat, now you go take someone else's seat. Anyway, we have plenty of seats, and it's a great thing when more people, I got some people I need to work on. We'll work on them. I saw a head shaking. But it's wonderful to be here, and our goal, as God has given us, is that we would grow, and we would lead more to Christ. So this morning, our lesson is about our children. And turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at the occasion where Jesus encountered children in Mark chapter 10. And before we get there, I'll share with you a Psalm 127:3 says, Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. And children are a reward. Children are a blessing. And they're valuable to us here as a congregation and a church family. And they are also a responsibility. They're a responsibility to us. And so we're going to talk about that this morning and learn from what Jesus shows us. So Mark chapter 10 verse 13 says, They were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. Luke's account, Luke 18, says they were bringing even infants. So parents were bringing their children from babies on up to Jesus for him to bless them. And we'll see that they wanted him to touch them, probably, his hand on their head, calling a blessing from God. They knew Jesus was at the very least a prophet, and at the most, they knew he was the Son of God. And so they wanted, and rightfully so, that Jesus would encounter their children and that their children would be blessed. Well, the disciples, they think they have a job to do here, and they intervene. The disciples determine Jesus is way too busy for children. And I think to a degree you and I can relate to that. There are times and places where children, it's not the time, it's not the place. We have something urgent or critical, and it's on an adult level. Well, that's what the disciples were thinking, the apostles, really. And so they intervene and think they're doing a good thing by stopping these parents. And if you think about it, the truth is, of course, Jesus, he will correct them in verse 14 as we read on. Let's look at that. When Jesus saw it, he was indignant. The word indignant means anger or annoyance at unfair treatment. So Jesus sees these parents being not encouraged and welcome, but Jesus sees these parents being scolded and turned away. And his heart hurts for the parents because this is not right. And he sees children being turned away. And Jesus is upset about that because that's not right. And so Jesus speaks up and says, Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. And the truth is, Jesus was coming to the children, so to speak, and the children were coming to him, but the grown-ups got in the way. The apostles got in the way. And don't you know we have that still happening 2,000 years later? Children want to learn about Jesus. Did you know that? They want to come to Bible class. They want to go to Bible hour. Children want to learn about Jesus. And we have Jesus who wants to connect, and he wants to be in their life. He wants them to learn about him. Jesus wants to connect with children. Children want to connect with Jesus. And sometimes we as the grown-ups, we get in the way. We're not helping that. Well, Jesus makes this statement to such belongs the kingdom of God. Verse 15 says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. So not only does Jesus, he corrects the apostles, but he goes on and he welcomes the children. Then he goes on to say, actually, you grown-ups need to learn from children. You need to learn from children. In fact, Matthew 18:4, in the same record as Matthew records it, Jesus said, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The humility of a child. Yesterday, we had our grandson Noah, and it's time to eat, and he's hungry. So Stephanie was making waffles, and Noah and I are at the bar, and he's hungry, and so she hands him a waffle. He's two. He's two and a half. She hands him a waffle. Next thing I know, he has managed to get this entire waffle in his mouth. I don't think he's swallowed any of it yet. He just has a mouthful of it. And so I work with him to, you know, chew that up and swallow it, because I'm afraid he's going to choke. So from then on, he and I had a procedure. Procedure is, I control the waffle now, and I will hand you a piece. And he kept wanting to take the piece. I had to train him. You hold your hand like this, I'll put the piece in your hand. But before we do that, he had to show me an empty mouth. So like a little baby bird, I had a piece, but he's got to show me that empty mouth first. Then it goes in his hand, then it goes in his mouth. And he willingly did that. At his age, a two-year-old, a three-year-old, now there is a reason they call it terrible twos. But at that age, for the most part, they don't have pride. You can ask a 14, 15, 16-year-old to do something, and they'll say, why? You can ask a grown-up to move in their seat. If I said, everyone stand, let's move forward, let's move down front today, you'll see some pride. As we get older, we get pride. Young children, they don't have pride yet. They don't have pride. You tell them to do something, and for the most part, they will just do it. They're not thinking about themselves and what they deserve. And Jesus points that out and says, we need to be like children with our humility. So verse 16, look at what he does. He took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Now, they probably expected him, as I said, it might be customary, you know, his hand on their head as a blessing and as a part of this, but Jesus takes them in his arms. He welcomed them. He loved these children. He valued children. Don't you know, here's the mind-blowing thing, Jesus, he knew everything about these children. Remember, he's God. He's God in the flesh. He knows everything about these children. He doesn't just love them like you and I could love them. He loves them in a way we don't understand. But he welcomed them. He spent time with them. He held them. And they were important to him. And the truth is, our children are important to us. They're important to us here as a congregation. And what we do for our children in Bible hour, in Bible classes, Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, that is important. We're preparing our children for eternity. We're preparing them for eternity. And eternity matters. And so, parents, grandparents, I encourage you to bring your children to Bible class. We have Bible classes here for all ages, 9:30, every Sunday morning. Bring your children. If you can bring your grandchildren, bring them. We have Bible classes here on Wednesday nights for all ages, 7 o'clock. Come. Bring your children. Let them learn about Jesus, and you learn with the adults. You think about it. We send our children to school 5 days a week for how many hours? And sometimes we struggle to bring them to Sunday school for 1 hour. Really not 1 hour. It's 45 minutes. It's really less than that when you talk about entry and exit time. We're preparing our children for this world fairly well. We need to think about, are we preparing them for eternity? And so to our teachers, to our helpers, if you teach our children, or you have, and periodically you do, or you help with our children in any of these ways, thank you. Thank you. I'd have you stand right now, But not everyone likes to stand and have everyone look at them. But the ones who work with our children, thank you. God is proud of you. God is grateful to you, and so are we. It's priceless what you do. We need more of you. In fact, I want to brag on one, and she'll just have to forgive me. Becky Kupick, I want to brag on her. Becky, this past LTC season, she coached two scrapbook teams. She coached two puppet teams, two quiz teams. That includes her teaching 3rd through 6th grade on Wednesday nights, not to mention taking pictures throughout the year, not to mention other times that she volunteers and serves in Bible Hour classes. We need more Beckys. We need more Becky Kupics. I know we can't clone her, and not everyone can be a Becky Kupick, all right? But we need more. We need more. She's an all-star, and we need more to decide that you want to invest in what we're doing with our children. And so I encourage you, you know, last Sunday I talked about being an influencer and being an influence for Christ. What better way than with children in a class or Bible Hour? Influencing them for Christ. If you are unsure of your ability, you think, I don't know that I can do that, I encourage you to be a helper. Be a helper. You don't have to have you don't have to turn in a resume to us with great experience with children to be a helper. You just go in and help. You kind of follow directions. Have some humility. Do what needs to be done. And you may not have a gift for teaching children. There was a time that I didn't teach on a Sunday morning for a quarter or two, and that's not always easy for me to get away from that, but I helped Stephanie when we taught the 3- and 4-year-olds. We did that a couple quarters, and then I helped her with first graders, and I am not gifted with teaching children, not at all. It's not my gift, it's not my talent, it's not my thing. It's not, you know what I mean? It's not. But our kids needed it, and I can help. Now, she's gifted in that, and some of you are gifted, men and women. Some of you are gifted with children. I am not. So I tell you from my experience, I had to work at it, but it was very rewarding. It's very rewarding for me, and that's not why I did it. I did it because the children need it, and we need more of that. And so I encourage you, men can be great teachers, great helpers. Children, it's good for our children to see a Christian male presence in their learning. It's good for them. It helps them, and they enjoy that. And so, I want to share with you in just a moment, I'll share with you some of our children and what they have to say about why they like coming to Bible class, why they like Bible Hour. I want to share that with you in a moment. But before I do, if you'll allow me just a minute, I want to speak to, we have three criteria for you to help with our children here in this church family. And I think these will make sense to you as I just quickly explain them. One is we do background checks. We do that because our insurance requires it. And we would do that and want to do that regardless of that because we want to get ahead of any kind of danger or situation that would involve our children. We want to be ahead of it, not behind it. We don't want to wait and say what we should have done. And so that's important to us. That is something we do. We don't care if you got 10 speeding tickets in, 1996. It's not about that. Obviously, you understand what that background check would be about. So we do that. We also, our insurance does require that you be here, that we know you for 6 months, that you be here for a little bit before we turn you loose with our children. And so another way to protect young people, and so we do that. And then thirdly, we want you to be a member here. And sometimes that's confusing. What is, the reality is we want everyone to come. We're not in the business of turning away. We're not in the business of making it difficult to be here. That's not it. But being a member here, let me just hit on a couple points of what that is. One is it's you saying I'm under the leadership of the elders here. That as a member here, I'm because anyone can come and visit anytime. But as a member, what you're saying is I'm serving under their leadership and their authority. And that's biblical. God gave us that model for elders, also called shepherds, to be over this flock. And our shepherds, we have three of them, and they will answer to God one day what happened here. They'll answer to God for what was taught here. So that's a big responsibility for them. So as a member, you're serving, that's you saying, I'm serving under their leadership, and I'm here. Count me in. And so regarding membership, one thing that we do one way or the other, when you want to be a member here, one thing we cover. For example, let me say that it's not that you have to agree with every church doctrine or practice that we have here. We don't run you through, 20 things that you have to agree to. But the most important thing as a person walking with God is salvation. Am I saved? Am I in the church? God puts us in the worldwide church, the big church, not the congregation, the church. God adds us, okay? And so when you want to be a member, we check with you on that for two reasons. One, if there's something you didn't understand about Scripture on salvation, a lot of times it's baptism because churches teach many different things on baptism and salvation. If you didn't understand, we want to help you to understand, and we want you to be right with God according to Scripture, not according to us, but according to Scripture. And then secondly, if you had a misunderstanding about salvation, we would not want that to be passed on. You could understand that. We want to be about the Word and what's true to the Word. So that's all I'll say about that. I hope you understand the spirit of why we operate that way. We want to do things according to God's Word and follow Him, and we want to help you, and we want to help our children. And so, but we need more teachers. We need more helpers in our Bible classes. Sometimes people don't want to teach because they don't want to miss the adult class. And of course, we have quarters, and you can rote. That's why we don't have teachers typically teaching all the time. But sometimes people they don't want to commit to that many Sundays or Wednesdays in a row. It's 3 months that we're committing to, and so obviously, if you need to be gone for a reason, we have ways to substitute for you. But sometimes people don't want that much commitment. And I would encourage you to step out of your comfort zone on that. Take that step. Sometimes people think they don't have the skill. You don't have to have the skill. You can learn. Sometimes you don't think you have enough knowledge. What if a kid asked me a question I don't know? What do? You're the teacher. And they ask you a question and you don't know the answer. What do? Aren't you going to look dumb if you have to say, I don't know? No, that's the word of the devil. The truth is, tell them you don't know. We don't know everything about this. That's why that's why adults keep studying. That's why preachers keep studying. No human has ever mastered this, save Jesus Christ. So we don't know, but that's why we search. You tell that child, you know what? That's an excellent question. I don't know. But I'm going to find out. Come next week, and I will have an answer for you. We will look in the Word, and I'm going to talk to some people who know more than me, but that's a great question. So don't worry if you don't have all the knowledge you think you need. And if you don't think it's your calling, it doesn't need to be your calling or some idea that, well, I think this is God really wants me doing this. Our children need you. Our children need helpers. They need teachers. And we may get to a point where those who have a special gift for it or an ability can that they supply that need. But until then, we need more. We need more help. I want to share some quotes. I just asked some parents, and I'll share some more in the coming next Sunday for sure. Just some, so this is not all of our children, but this is some of our children. Here's Isaac Wittenberg. This is a good one. Isaac's a good one. Age 4, he says, I like everything about Bible Hour. I can't choose just one thing. I like having my mom teach my class the most. And I also like when Aunt Savannah teaches. I learned about the shepherd who had 100 sheep, and then he went looking for the lost one. Isn't that something? Is he learning about Jesus? He's 4 years old. You ask him how old he is, he'll probably have to think for a second and find which, hold on, right? But he can tell you about the story of the lost sheep. Brady Foote, one of my favorite parts of class is getting to pray. I also like that Miss Phyllis's voice is pretty and she teaches me well. Isn't that something? Caliandra says, I learn about God. Chloe says, I like that they teach us Bible things about the Bible, like the Sermon on the Mount. These children are picking up on more than we think they are. Amen. Presley says, one of my favorite parts of class is reading the Bible verses. I also really like it when Miss Stephanie Price lets me help label the maps, because learning about the maps and the locations is fun to me. Juliet Clayton says, I like that Zeta's grandpa lets us play games and give snacks. You don't even have to know the teacher's name. That doesn't matter. You know who they are. Also, I like that we get to take turns reading out of the Bible, and that's with Mr. Price. I like having Zeta Brewer. I like having different teachers in Bible class so we can learn things from different mindsets. Keldon Tucker, I like the Bible class papers. See, teachers, sometimes you have papers and you don't even know if the kids appreciate it. But they do. Easton says, we're studying Genesis with Mr. Ron and Mr. Jim. They know the Bible really well and they help us understand it more. Is it good to have men in our kids' classes? Absolutely. Incidentally, a lot of these right now are, they're talking about the men teachers because this quarter we have a special ladies class on Wednesday night. And knowing that some of our ladies who teach would want to go to that ladies class, we've asked more men to step in. And so that's a great thing. Zia Brewer, I like learning about the Bible in Bible class because we read the Bible as kids. We learn it in different ways than when an adult teaches us. So I like it when an adult teaches us because it gives us a different perspective on it. Delaney Aldridge, all the teachers are really nice, but I really love it when Curtis teaches. He is hands down my favorite. I really like learning about God and the Bible with my friends. And so Amanda says she also gave a long list of the Bible stories she's learned about. The class Curtis taught last Wednesday on apologetics made a huge, incidentally, if you don't know what apologetics is, it's about, is there really a God and defending the truth of Scripture. And so Curtis taught on apologetics, made a huge impact. 1 week later, she's still telling me about it. And Micaiah said, I like learning about new things, and when teachers read from a bunch of different scriptures to tie into one story, and they let us read scriptures. Curtis doesn't just read out of the Bible. He teaches us about different things that lead us to different stories to help us understand them better. He also asks us questions, and we ask him questions, and he answers them and goes really deep into them to help us understand them better. By the way, we can't all be Curtis Price, okay? I mean, we're trying. Curtis is gifted in teaching. He is. And praise God for him. And we have a number of people here very gifted in teaching. It doesn't mean you have to have that ability or skill or gift to help our young people. But did you notice? So these all progressed in age, if you didn't notice that. We started out at 4, we ended up at 11. Do you notice that at 4, the love for Bible class and learning is it's a younger mentality, it's a younger understanding, but can you tell at 11? Now these kids are getting smart. These kids are learning, they're absorbing more. And what I love seeing is kind of that progression. And that's what happens when children grow up in Bible class. That's what we want. It's important to us. Isaiah 54:13 says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. That's our goal. I want to share a blog written by Katie Compline, and it's titled The Reluctant Sunday School Teacher. She says, I have a confession to make. I was not looking forward to teaching Sunday school this year. And on some Sundays, I still trudge out the door instead of merely skipping to teach. I had numerous reasons for my lack of enthusiasm. We're living in a pandemic, which means I would be donning a mask. I have 4 kids with whom I had just come off distance learning. I had my fill of teaching in any capacity. Spending more time teaching was not on my to-do list. I didn't want to give up my time in adult Bible study. I love asking questions and listening to the questions others ask. Being a Sunday school teacher was not what I wanted. It's what our church needed at the moment. I've grown to appreciate the position. I don't appreciate it because of the mask. I haven't grown in my affection for it because of the stickers or the crafts. I'm not showing up on Sunday for the intellectual conversation. It's not because each lesson is put together or runs smoothly. It's not for the money. It's not for the fame. I've grown to appreciate the position because week after week, the little faces I've been appointed to teach point me to Christ in the simplest terms. Week after week, I'm reminded by this age of 4 to 7-year-olds of the work of Christ on the cross and in my life. I'm humbled when I ask a question and they give the same answer at 4 years old as I would at 35 years old. The answer to all the Sunday school questions is Jesus. As we grow, life gets more complicated, but the answer to our questions remains the same. Jesus. If we're 15 or age 30, struggling with feeling that we don't belong, the answer is Jesus. Christ tells us who we are. And because of his work, we are his children and heirs in his kingdom. If we are age 30 or age 60 and struggling with what we should be doing in life, the answer is Jesus. We don't need to deny the fact that life's decisions are tough. We can rest assured knowing that Christ will use us to serve our neighbor. If we are 60 or 90 and struggling to rest in our retirement, the answer is Jesus. He has told us rest is good and necessary. He took our burdens to the cross so we can rest in his promises instead of striving to prove our worth. If we are 9 or 90 and struggling with powerlessness, the answer is Jesus. We have much less control over our lives at any age than we would like to think. The answer to anxiousness we feel when we come face to face with our powerlessness is Jesus. He is our good shepherd, holding and leading us through life. I love the song. Think about this song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, for they are weak, but he is strong. And tell me how often through life, whatever age you are, how often you've needed the message, I'm weak, he's strong. Amen. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. We are praying here in this congregation that a day will come when we will have more people wanting to teach than we have classes. That we will tell people, we'll tell our members, I'm sorry, we don't have any opportunities right now, but you can sign up for next quarter. Where we will have people fussing with each other over who can teach a class. And someone will have to wait to teach our children. And so I encourage you to pray on this. We have sign-up sheets in the foyer. We have our next quarter for children's classes coming up in June. And the sign-up sheet for that is under the member board in the foyer right now. We need more Bible Hour teachers, more Bible Hour helpers. And guess what? This morning, after services, we're having a meeting down front for VBS this year. If you can help in any way with VBS this year, Zach is going to lead a meeting after we dismiss this morning down front, and we're going to get organized for our Power Week where we teach children about Jesus. We're going to sing this song of encouragement, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. If you're here this morning, and maybe there's something about this lesson, maybe you want prayers for yourself to serve in a better way with our children, maybe there's something totally unrelated to this lesson that's heavy on your shoulders right now and you want us to pray for you about. And I continually ask, maybe there's one here that you're not a child of God. You never stepped into the kingdom. You've never given your life to Christ and had your sins washed away in baptism. If we can help you this morning, please come while we stand and sing.
Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Tell me the story of Jesus.